If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's what happens when you give Grammarly to your entire team. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with Michael Moore about his new Broadway show, The Terms of My Surrender. But first, a closer look.
Donald Trump's presidency is in a tailspin after his response to Charlottesville, which means once again, his aides are privately wringing their hands while staying silent in public. With one exception, Steve Bannon, who's coming to his defense. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Of course, the president has come under tremendous criticism for his response to Charlottesville, but apparently, for some of Trump's aides, the problem was not that he defended white supremacists, but that he said it out loud in front of the cameras.
Well, aides in the West Wing were frustrated, exasperated, even stunned, but not quite surprised. They were sort of stunned that he would go out and say this publicly.
Members of the president's staff, stunned and disheartened, said they never expected to hear such a voluble articulation of opinions that the president had long expressed in private.
So Trump's staff isn't upset he's a racist. They're upset we found out about it. And of course we found out about it. Donald Trump is terrible at keeping secrets. Trump would never last in Fight Club.
They have this club. It is so tremendous. And they have a first rule. Should I tell you the first rule? I shouldn't tell you. Don't talk about Fight Club. It's the first rule.
For his part, Trump almost seemed relieved to have finally gotten off his chest how he really feels. In fact, those close to him say he's happy about how his Tuesday press conference turned out.
With the country and his own administration reeling from President Trump's shocking remarks about the Charlottesville, Virginia violence, sources tell CNN that the president is, quote, without regret.
Of course he is. Trump is incapable of feeling regret. Trump feels regret as often as he feels Melania's touch. And Politico reported yesterday that Trump had lashed out mainly out of anger and that his notorious temper was driving his behavior. White House officials and informal advisors say the triggers for his temper are if he thinks someone is lying to him, if he's caught by surprise, if someone criticizes him, or if someone stops him from trying to do something or seeks to control him. So basically, all the things that happen to a president every day. Seriously, Trump's aides talk about him like he's a caged gorilla at the zoo, which would explain this sign outside the Oval Office.
Did you hear that? Am I the only one who heard that?
So now Trump's presidency is once again facing a crisis, which means it's time for the well-worn ritual of Trump allies and Republican leaders not courageously speaking out, but rather quietly wringing their hands and leaking to reporters that they are frustrated and upset.
The Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, is privately upset with the president's handling of this episode.
Now, one person who was frustrated with how today played out, Chief of Staff John Kelly.
This is from Glenn Thrush at The New York Times, who's now reporting that Gary Cohn, who's the NEC chair, who is Jewish, was, quote, disgusted and, quote, upset by Trump's comments on white nationalists.
So they're disgusted, but not quitting. Trump is turning every Republican into Gollum from Lord of the Rings. I support the president and his agenda. No! He's a crazy racist. He's gonna get us all killed. And then there are the two people who were supposed to be a moderating influence on Trump, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and daughter, Ivanka. Where were they during all of this? According to the New York Times, Ivanka and Kushner urged Trump to take a more moderate stance, but as with so many other critical moments in Trump's presidency, the two were on vacation, this time in Vermont. Oh, that is Bernie Sanders' worst nightmare. His home state infiltrated by a millionaire and a billionaire. Also, how often do these two go on vacation? Every time something goes haywire in the Trump administration, it seems like they're nowhere to be found. With Don Jr.'s emails with a Russian lawyer surfaced in July, they were at a conference in Sun Valley, Idaho. When Trump was nearing the 100-day milestone with no accomplishments to showcase, they were in Whistler, Canada for a Passover ski trip. That's right, a Passover ski trip. I hope they left a seat open for Elijah. But not all of Trump's aides and allies tried to distance themselves from Trump's unhinged press conference. There's also Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, whose ties to white nationalists are well known, which is odd because no one disproves the idea that white people are a master race more than Steve Bannon. Look at him. If he tried to do a Nazi salute, he'd throw his back out. He looks like the discarded skin suit used by the alien from Men in Black. Bannon was apparently delighted that the president defended white supremacists. In fact, in a rare on-the-record interview yesterday, Bannon gleefully celebrated the fact that the national conversation has been dominated by the white supremacist rally and the ensuing outrage. He said this to the American Prospect about the Democrats: the longer they talk about identity politics, I got them. I want them to talk about racism every day. If the left is focused on race and identity and we go with economic nationalism, we can crush the Democrats. Hey, man, are you trying to sound evil? I guess it's no coincidence that you look like Quato from Total Recall. Shout out Andy Samberg. And on top of that, Bannon was defiant when asked about his rivals within the White House. When asked about the more moderate, business-friendly wing of the Trump administration that opposes him, Bannon said, they're wetting themselves. To be fair, you'd wet yourself, too, if you saw Steve Bannon. He's the guy you see in a horror movie when you close the medicine cabinet. Now, the timing of Bannon's sudden publicity tour is interesting because with Trump's new chief of staff, John Kelly, trying to put an end to White House chaos and infighting, and after the nearly universal criticism of Trump's Charlottesville response, word started to spread that Bannon's job was in jeopardy.
If Steve Bannon was ever in jeopardy, you know, this would be the time when he would be in the maximum jeopardy.
Bannon knows he's fighting for his job.
Steve Bannon allies, they do say this feels very grim for him. It's a bad moment. The death watch feels real.
The articles on Mr. Bannon, calling him kind of an exile within the West Wing. Here's New York Times, Bannon in limbo.
I don't know if he can limbo, but I'll bet he's been found under the bar a few times. We have a White House paralyzed by chaos, a president who defends white supremacists, and a chief strategist who gleefully eggs him on. GOP leaders and Trump aides who say they're disgusted have to actually do something to stop this. Because as of now, this guy might be the president, but he's got this guy lurking right behind him. This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reese, audience warrant comedian for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Denise from Austin, who just came from one of our live tapings. Denise, what'd you think? What was your favorite part?
I thought it was amazing. The energy was great. My favorite part was the band. I didn't really know anything about them.
Wow,
I
mean, shout out also, to the AG band.
Seth, no, I didn't mean it like shady, but I was just cool to be like, oh, I never knew that they were great like that.
And what do you think of the controversy surrounding President Trump's reaction to Charlottesville? Do you think this is going to impact his ability to pass any legislation?
You know, I want to think it will, because I have hope in humanity, and I want to believe that people will stand up and fight against terrible oppression. However, I live in America, and I've, you know, lived here a while, so I feel like it's not going to affect him passing legislation, and that's upsetting to me.
I'm just curious, what's your reaction to President Trump comparing Robert E. Lee to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson?
I grew up in Texas, so I lived that. You know what I mean? There were Robert Lee elementary schools that I had to just be a black kid at, like, don't say anything. So it's absurd to me, and I don't think he lives in reality.
Perfectly said.
Hey, everybody, this is Henry Melcher. I am a producer here at Late Night. So usually for this podcast, I like to chat with our guests after they talk to Seth in the green room for a few minutes. But we had a special opportunity tonight with Michael Moore because he is performing on Broadway just a few blocks away and actually had to leave our building, 30 Rock, pretty quickly to get to his theater. So we interviewed him on the way to the Belasco Theater about six blocks from 30 Rock. It's a really great conversation. I think you'll really enjoy it. It will actually be released as a separate podcast tomorrow, Saturday. But before that, today, right now, you're about to hear Michael's interview with Seth from our show. Thanks so much.
Our guest tonight is the Academy Award-winning filmmaker of documentaries like Roger and Me, Bowling for Columbine, and Fahrenheit 9/11. His one-man show, The Terms of My Surrender, is playing at the Belasco Theater on Broadway. Please welcome back to the show, Michael Moore, everybody. Welcome.
Thank you.
You?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
So this is very exciting. You're doing a Broadway show. You're doing it every night. Obviously, one of the risks I would think of doing a show is that you have to do the same material every night. You went a little outside of what you usually did. You took your whole audience and you went and protested at Trump Tower.
Yes. At the end of the show the other night, I asked them, because Trump had just arrived in town.
Yeah. Here.
And by the way, I'm glad he waited. After going to West Virginia and Ohio, he comes to New York. He waited till he got here to announce his support for the Confederacy.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I just thought that was very,
yeah,
very smart. And I asked the audience at the end, how would you like to go over to Trump Tower and greet him? He hasn't stayed overnight here since the inauguration.
And it was here you are, there you are with Olivia Wilde.
Yes, she was there. She was there, yes.
There's Mark Ruffalo.
Marissa Tomei. Fisher Stevens.
Yep. And how much do you think, because
we put everybody on double-decker buses.
Oh, wow. So
and
you just bust them
over.
From
the theater, yes, over there. And he wouldn't see us.
He wouldn't see you.
No.
How much do you think it hurts him when New Yorkers are upset to see him?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. I was there at the very first demonstration the night after he was elected.
Yeah.
And, legally, the legal term is appointed by the Electoral College.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
But he was tweeting at us from up there.
Yeah.
Like, protesters say I'm not legitimate. Unfair.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and so we went back this time, and I thought, certainly with Marissa Tomei and Olivia Wilde, right?
Yeah.
That would really upset him.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
You know, that the...
That's the demographic he would like to appeal to the most.
Yes, he would like to believe that they like him.
Now, your show, one of the things of your show is a 12-step program for helping people sort of deal with this Trump presidency, and you've just added another step.
Yes. The new step, I just added it last night, was... We have to sober the up.
Okay, great. So what do you mean?
What I mean by that is we have to keep... he's going to be impeached. Oh, every time something happens, James Comey... I tell everybody in the audience, please put your whiskey bottles and your flasks on the table right now. Because every month you're drinking from a new, you know, James Comey, that's the end of him.
Yeah.
You know, oh, Russia, that's going to be the end of him. You know, and it's like, and now this week, the press conference and the CEOs desert him. You know, oh, that'll be the end of him now. You know, and no.
Yeah,
no.
So we're giving ourselves cirrhosis of the liver, and he's fine.
He's fine. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not the Teflon president. Teflon implies you have to be in the pan. He's not even in the pan.
Yeah.
This guy gets away with everything He's the Republicans. I'm sorry to say this. They're not going to impeach him.
Right.
They're not. They've already pulled their gerrymandered districts, and they know most of them think they're going to get reelected. So they're not going to impeach him. Mueller, the special prosecutor, he can't indict the president. I mean, he can be indicted after he's impeached. And I think I was telling your producer backstage, I think the problem is going to be that when he is indicted or arrested, do we try him as an adult?
Yeah, that's a good question. I hadn't even thought about that. It's really problematic.
I think he has to be tried as an adult.
But this is interesting because do you think, because I think there's this issue now, is the Democratic Party sort of hoping for, something to fall from the heavens to fix this and not focusing enough on being a strong party.
Yes,
do you think the focus needs to be on the midterms, or do you think that is a lost cause?
Not all. We only have to flip 24 of the Republican seats. There's 435 seats in the House. To get the House back, we only need 24. In the Senate, we only need 3. Are we that much of a loser, a group of people, that we can't get 3? I mean, here, let me give you this statistic. Most people don't realize this. In the last 7 presidential elections, the Democrat has won the popular vote in 6 of them. 6 of the last 7. The Republicans have only won the popular vote once in the last 30 years, once since 1988. The American people want the Democrat. They want the liberal agenda. They believe women should be paid the same as men. They believe that there's climate change. They believe in stronger gun control laws. That's our fellow Americans, and yet we hold no power.
And you point this out in your show that Donald Trump, you need everybody to admit, that's the first step, is that Donald Trump outsmarted
us. You have to say Donald Trump outsmarted us all and then deal with a throw-up that's in your mouth.
Yeah. But I think that's fair to say.
It's the truth.
You have to give credit there.
I mean, generally, in a game, the person who wins the game obviously was better, at least that day.
Yeah.
And he figured it out. He was smart enough to convince 8 million Obama voters to vote for him. Smart
enough. He was smart enough to
convince the majority of white women to vote for him. 53% of white women voted for him. Smart enough. He was smart enough to know where the state of Wisconsin was.
Yeah.
And go there.
Go there. That's a big deal.
Go there. Yeah. And I think that he, you know, he knew the right things to say because he was a TV star. He knew how to communicate on TV. You keep it simple. You know, you and I are going to do 8 minutes here.
Yeah.
We're not going to do a 6-hour harangue on the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
No, we'll keep it simple for TV.
Right.
You, obviously, over the course of your career, one of the things you've railed against is the Republican, or I say the conservative belief system.
Yes.
But that is an actual belief system. Do you prefer that to what Donald Trump is?
I actually do. People are worried that, well, if we get rid of Trump, we'll have Pence. I say, no, don't be worried about that. Pence actually believes in things. We can have the great debate with him. He believes in gay conversion. He believes gay people can be converted. He believes that Adam and Eve rode on dinosaurs 6,000 years ago. But we can have that debate with him, and because the majority of Americans don't want the Republicans in charge, we can win the debate because most Americans will agree with us. With Trump, he believes, his belief system is Donald J. Trump. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all he believes in is himself and what kind of money he can make for himself and his family. And that's a much more dangerous, I think, situation to be in. We've got him out there in Bedminster.
Yeah.
You know, last week, Bedminster, New Jersey, threatening nuclear war from a golf club. And I know you've made jokes about this here, but it's kind of like, seriously, anybody who lives in the New York area, has any good idea ever come out of Bedminster, New Jersey?
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly not blowing up the world.
No, you wouldn't want that to come out of Bedminster. Well, congratulations on the show, and I know it's going until October. Is that right?
Yeah, to the end of October. I want people to come see this because it's something I can't do in the movies.
Yeah,
it's live. It's in the room. It's different every night, and it's a piece of theater that I've written for the times in which we live, and I welcome people to come. And I made it part of my deal. Because you know how expensive Broadway is?
Yeah, it's very expensive.
That the whole balcony is $29.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
So people can come. So it's
man of the people.
Know, if you don't have $29, I'll help you out.
Michael Moy, everybody, The Terms of My Surrender at the Velasco on Broadway.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers?
Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.